We're going to talk about the subject of turning away from God. And when Dave Thorne, who was organizing this, gave me this topic, I said, what in the world are you talking about? You know, turning, what do you mean turning away from God? And he said that the person who handed in this subject, which was suggested to us, it really means, why do I keep messing up? I've given my life to Christ. I've invited him into my heart, and I keep turning away from him. It isn't like my drugs and alcohol desires just disappeared. It's not like I just instantly stop being angry or bitter or resentful. Why is that that I keep messing up after I've invited Christ into my life? And when I first was a Christian, I was under the impression, and I'm here to kind of burst some of your bubbles a little bit tonight, I was under the impression that the second I asked Jesus to come into my heart, I would have no more problems the rest of my life. That everything would be pink clouds and mountaintop experiences. And God has given me a lot of wonderful times. But the reality is, I think, as we're going to start to find out, I hope, is that you're in the middle of a battle. Somebody said Christianity is a battleship, not a cruise ship. Right. A lot of life is expectations. What do you expect normal Christian life is going to be like? If you expect normal Christian life is going to be one mountaintop experience after, you'll never struggle with any temptations to do anything wrong again, that is a what I would call a false expectation. You're going to be disappointed pretty quickly. In some sense, you're in the army now. And when you give your life to Christ, you're going to find that you are in the middle of a battle. Also, you're going to find that you are in a process. Okay? You're not instantly perfect. The Apostle Paul says, not that he was already perfect, but I press towards the mark for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He says, I'm not perfect. If the Apostle Paul says that he's not perfect, guess what? You and I are not perfect either. Here's what he does say. Here's what the apostle says. You need to realize you're in a process. What do we say in recovery? Progress, not perfection. That's what we're looking for. It's not that you're never going to have battles, you're never going to turn away from God, you're never going to mess up again, but it's about progress, not perfection. Somebody said, I'm not the man I should be, but praise God, I'm not the man I once was. Right? I'm not the man I should be, but praise God, I'm not the man I once was. The Apostle Paul says here in 2 Corinthians, and we all, that's all believers, with unveiled faces, won't get too far into the context there, but basically I can come before God openly and transparently and look at him, beholding the glory of the Lord, and we all are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. Okay, the idea is, as I'm turning to Jesus, I am being transformed to become more like Jesus. He is seeking to make you and I more Christ-like. Somebody, you know, say recoveries, I want my character defects removed, you know, humbly asked him to remove our defects of character. What would a life look like that had no character defects? Jesus is the answer. That is a life with no character defects. So when you're saying in recovery, I want my life to have no character defects, Jesus is the model of what that life looks like. So for me as a Christian, yeah, I want God to remove my character defects. It's a process. This word, we're being transformed. How many Greek scholars are out there? Good, so I can make up anything and you won't know. Okay. The Greek word for transformed is metamorpho. Greek is, by the way, the language the New Testament was written in. Metamorpho, what do you think we get from the word metamorpho? Metamorphosis. You are going through a metamorphosis. That is why I've got the picture of the caterpillar turning into the butterfly thing. You are in a process. Part of the reason you keep messing up and turning away from God is because you need to understand, you're still in process of being transformed to become more and more like Jesus. And so long as you're in this world, that should be your normal expectation. We're not trying to mess up. But as we go through things, it's like, okay, I'm in a process, I'm being transformed, I'm being metamorphosized to become more and more like Christ. Now, just to break things up, here's a little cartoon for you. Butterfly in the car gets pulled over by the police officer, and the police officer is looking at the butterfly's license, and it's a caterpillar. And the butterfly says, "That's an old photo." I thought it was funny, but that's just me. When people meet you, let's say, I'm the drug addict, I'm the alcoholic, I'm stoned out of my brains. I told Missy I would, where's Missy? Oh, she's not here. I told him I would not show her the hideous picture of me drunk and stoned out of my brains tonight.
Oh.
Sorry, I was going to show that, but then I didn't. Yeah. The idea is somehow when people meet you now, if they see the old photos, that's not me anymore. And that's because Jesus has been working on me since the late 70s. I got a long way to go. But when people meet you and you've been following Christ for a while, you're looking to Him, He's transforming you, people should see that there has been real change in your life. Shall I get into theology? Why not? Let's get into theology. Here's the big picture of what God is doing. He's transforming you, but what does that mean, God's transforming you? If you're looking at theological language, which this is your grad class tonight, God wants to deliver us from sin. Anybody? Yeah, okay. That's God's goal. As He's transforming you, He's seeking to deliver you from sin and me from sin. There are three parts of this that I'm going to hit on tonight, and maybe this will start to make sense to you. He delivers us from the penalty of sin. That's what He did at the cross in the past. When you place your faith in Jesus Christ, you are forgiven for your sins. You are delivered from the penalty for sin. Right now, in the present, you are in the process of being delivered from the power of sin. Sin is trying to exert its power over us, and part of the reason we mess up and turn away from God, and I'll talk about that in a minute, is because you need to understand it right now. I have been delivered from the penalty, I am being delivered from the power, and someday in the future, I will be delivered from the presence. And in that day, God will have completed His purpose of delivering us from all aspects of sin. Have been delivered from the penalty, are being delivered from the power, will be delivered from the presence. But right now, we are in the present. And the transformational process that God is in the midst of doing is delivering us from all those areas where sin is trying to get its power over us. So that's the process, is God is trying to break the power that sin has had on your life and on mine. How many of you, Andy, you're not making any sense? How many of you, Andy, I'm sort of kind of with you. How many of you? Yeah, I'm starting to track this. This is what's happening in your life now as a follower of Jesus. If you want to get, how many, we're in theology school tonight, so you can go out of here, you can talk theological language. If you want to talk theology, the deliverance from the penalty of sin is called justification. That means just as if I'd never sinned. The deliverance from the power is called sanctification. You are in the sanctification process. You're becoming more and more like Jesus. And being delivered from the presence of sin is what's called glorification. Justification, sanctification, glorification. You can go out, wander around the church, throw out words like that, and, yeah, you know, say, yeah, been to a theology class at R&R. Okay? Now, the areas in which sin is trying to get its power over you and me. Here I am, an addict. How is sin trying to get its power over me? We're going to talk tonight about the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world, the flesh, and the devil. This is, as we're in this world, being transformed to become more like Jesus. Sin's trying to get its power over us to make us turn away from God, to mess up. The first way that sin tries to get its power over us, we call the world. Here's a scripture out of 1 John. He says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of the sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting that he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world." He's not talking about the world of nature. He's not talking about waterfalls and sunsets. Don't love sunsets. Oh, no. He's talking about the world where there's the society that's based on the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting about what he has and does. Here's a sign. Old Milwaukee beer, it doesn't get any better than this. That's the world trying to exert its power. Yeah, some of you are laughing. I'm telling you, if it doesn't get any better than Old Milwaukee beer, we are all in trouble. But the world is trying to persuade you and convince you, or here, Absolut vodka, absolute heaven. So the world, this is the world he's talking about. I'm walking along as a stoned out hippie. Yeah, Absolut vodka, absolute heaven. I'm looking at this. Newport cigarettes, alive with pleasure. After all, if smoking isn't a pleasure, why bother? And then down in the fine print, Surgeon General says this is killing you. But these are the messages. Yeah, Andre, hop on in. Yeah. Well, and we are. We're out there in the world, and every place you go, there's some sort of a billboard telling you, you need Absolut vodka. You need Old Milwaukee beer. You need Newport cigarettes. And I'm going, yeah, that's me. I get pulled in. I spent years getting pulled in by the world telling me what I needed to have pleasure. I wanted pleasure. I was hurting. I felt terrible about myself. I get high on drugs. I started feeling better for a little while. Okay. The world is going to send its messages to you. You need to be alert to what's going on. And it can be subtle. You know, everybody's going around now with the cell phone. You've got to have the iPhone 93. If you only have the iPhone 92, how can you live? I saw one the other night. It's an ad. They're delivering a three-dimensional television to a house. And on the side of the delivery truck, it says, four-dimensional television coming soon. Right? You don't even have the 3D, and you're starting to lust after the 4D. You can't even be happy for... So we live advertising. You never see an advertising that says your deodorant is good enough. Right? Advertising is meant to make you dissatisfied with what you've got, and then they're going to give you the thing that's going to satisfy the dissatisfaction that they just created for you. Right? So you get hooked in by the world. You've got to have that. Yeah, Oscar?
Is that sort of like a subliminal communication?
Yeah, it's coming at you all the time on television and radio. And somebody, I was reading a deal. I don't want to get too far off. Maybe I do. It was called, the guy started talking about what he called the cozy paradox. Okay? And then he started talking about what he calls the 92-foot shampoo aisle. Okay, he's making this up. You go to the supermarket, there's the 92-foot shampoo aisle. And only one of those will make you cozy. You need to have the shampoo that is just right for you, but the paradox is every other one will make you uncozy. So we get more and more refined on what we need. I've got to have that shampoo, otherwise I'm not going to be happy. Right? And we're laughing because it's true. That's what the world is telling you. My wife and I were remodeling the bathroom. We went down to, Home Depot or Lowe's or something like that. There's like 45 toilets. You know, high flow, low flow, pink with green spots, you know. And all of a sudden, we're just sitting there and we're caught up on this is what the world is trying to do. whether it's Newport cigarettes, whether it's the right toilet, the right perfect shampoo, the iPhone 92, the four-dimensional, the world is telling you, this is what's going to make you happy, and it's trying to exert its power over you. So you need to be alert. Part of the battle that we're in is against the world. This is, in some sense, an external attack. The world is broadcasting these things at you. It gets worse. This is going to shock you, but there's an internal battle. This is what we call the flesh. There's the world. What was the first one? The world, the flesh, and what's going to be the last one?
The devil.
The devil. There's an internal battle going on within each one of us. Paul says in Galatians, for the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. You are a new creation in Christ, but you're in an old body. I'm in an old body. Some of us are getting older all the time. Bard's giving me a look, okay? We're in an old body. It's got a lifetime of thoughts and habits and weird attitudes and strange ways of relating to people. And we call it kind of a faulty guidance system, a faulty internal moral compass. So when the world is telling me, you know, get old Milwaukee beer, there's part of me, the old flesh part of me goes, I want that. Right? And the flesh starts to magnify. How many of you are like one of the VA programs doing your cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT? Anybody here doing the CBT thing? Cognitive distortions. Our flesh will distort things where you start maximizing and minimizing. I maximize the pleasure I expect to get from old Milwaukee beer. It's going to be great. And then I minimize any potential consequences. I can only have one. It is the 4th of July, after all. A guy like me can handle one beer, and your flesh starts getting attracted to that. So there's an inner battle going on, which is to say you are, hello, my name is conflicted. You are conflicted. There's internal stuff. God's pulling you one way. The Holy Spirit's pulling you one way. That's the new creation. That's the Spirit inside of you. But you're in an old body. And part of when we get to heaven someday, we'll have new glorified bodies, which will not be subject to the pull and the temptation that our flesh has right now. We look forward to that, but you need to realize the world is externally exerting its influence on you, and there's something inside of you that wants to go that way. I think I had a picture somewhere. You know, what do we call it? The committee inside your head. There's a whole bunch of voices. You know, yeah, do it, Andy. You'll love it. And there's no, stop, Andy, stop. That's a dumb thing to do. Right? The flesh is trying to pull you in the direction. It's a power that's trying to pull you in the wrong direction. And the Holy Spirit's trying to pull you in the right direction. So you're starting to understand that normal Christian life, I have external pressures and powers trying to pull me in the wrong direction, and I also have internal stuff going on that is susceptible to being pulled in that direction. Okay? And it gets worse. What was number three going to be? No. Well, close. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Not only do you have the world trying to exert its power on you, not only do you have internal struggles going on and you're conflicted, but on top of that, you have a spiritual enemy. Satan, the devil, it's called the prince of the power of the air. That's the realm in which we are currently living. He does not want to give you a hangover. He wants you dead. It says Satan was a murderer from the beginning. In drug addiction, the end of the road is jails, institutions, and what?
Death.
Satan's in there seeking to stir things up, to inflame things. maybe whispering in your ear. You need to understand you're in the middle of a spiritual battle against an enemy. What does it say? We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Our real battle is not against the world, the flesh. Our ultimate battle behind all of that is against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly or unseen realms. There's a spiritual battle going on as well against an unseen enemy. Why do you mess up? Why do I mess up? Why do I turn away from God? Because I got the world trying to pull me away from God. I got my flesh trying to pull me away from God. And I've got Satan trying to pull me away from God. Shall I leave them there? No, I won't. Well, there's stuff going on in the spiritual realm that I think we don't fully understand. There's conflict in the book of Daniel. It says at one point that Michael, the archangel, is trying to come, but he says, I was delayed by a kind of spiritual force or conflict going on. There's stuff going on in the unseen realms that we don't understand. But here is the good... Should I just leave you with bad news? Should I give you some good news? We'll give you a little good news to end things off tonight. There's another power. There's the power of the world. There's the power of the flesh. There's the power of the devil. But there's the power of God. Came to believe, what's step two? Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves. Against the world, the flesh, and the devil, guess what? I am powerless. Whether it's alcohol, admitted we were powerless ultimately against all the things coming against us. You are powerless. That's the beginning of real recovery, is recognizing I don't have what it takes. You don't have what it takes. Step two is, guess what? Thankfully, there is somebody who does. Came to believe a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity, because guess what? We're crazy. Only crazy people stick needles in their arms and snort stuff up their nose. And me, Red Mountain Pink Chablis. Who drinks that? Does anybody know? Is anybody old enough to know Red Mountain Pink Chablis? A gallon for like $1.99? Yeah. It's like $1.99. It's nothing. It has nothing to do with grapes. It's like colored water with rat poison or something. Who drinks that stuff? I do. That's insane. Need to be restored to sanity. Okay? The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You are in a battle. You do keep messing up. You do keep turning away from God. You are subject to these powers that are trying to attack you and influence you. But the reality is there's one dwelling in you who is more powerful. The one on our side is bigger than the one coming against us. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. We are more than conquerors in Christ. So you recognize that you're in a battle. Don't be naive. Don't think that being a Christian is just going to be this mountaintop set of experiences. You need to understand you're in a battle. It's a real battle. It's for your life. Recovery is a life and death battle. I don't know how I'm getting intense because I'm remembering memorial services I've done for people who have died in their addiction. People who sat in this room just like you're sitting here tonight. And I get tired, quite frankly, of doing memorial services for people who die in their addiction. I mean, it breaks my heart. It just really does. And I tell people sometimes, if you don't do it for yourself, do it for me. I don't want to have my heart broken again doing another memorial service for somebody who, you know, went stepped in front of a car at 3 in the morning in San Jose while he was drunk or something. Okay. Yeah, I'm not going to mention names, okay, but kind of last slide I'll put up here for you tonight. You are a work in progress, but there will be a day when the work is done. Right? This is our hope. As we're in the midst of the battle and we're fighting the battle with somebody on our side, more powerful than the one coming against us, here's our hope. Apostle Paul says, I am sure, convinced, positive of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Right? It doesn't say 96% chance, 42 and a half. He will 100% guaranteed. He will deliver you completely from sin, from the penalty, from the power, and one day from the presence. We'll be with him. This, it's a mind-boggling theological concept. An all-knowing God is going to choose to forget your sins. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions. When we forgive people, we sort of kind of remember it. But there will be a day when God pushes the delete button completely. Amen. You're with him forever, free from the penalty, the power, and the presence of sin. And so we fight the battle in hope. We keep messing up. The steps, it says in the Psalms, the steps of a good man or woman are ordered by the Lord. Though he or she shall fall, you shall not be cast down, for the Lord upholds you with his hand. We are going to fall, but he will get you back. The only one who wants to kick you when you're down is Satan. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You stumble. When you stumble, you go to him and say, Lord, please forgive me. I have sinned. I have messed up. Please strengthen me so the next time that temptation comes, I won't make those same mistakes. I don't usually quote Carl Jung, but Carl Jung said, we keep falling in the same holes, but hopefully we fall with handfuls of dirt. Right? So I fall into the hole, but because I've got handfuls of dirt, each time the hole's not quite as deep. You know, I relapse for 3 months, and the next time it's for 2 months, and the next time. So you live in that kind of hope. Let me close with prayer. Otherwise, I'll just keep going on and on. We say, what do we always say? That for alcoholics, there's Alcoholics Anonymous. But for people who talk too much, there's On and On Anonymous. So part of that one. On and On Anonymous. That's for people that talk too much. I'm a charter member. So let me pray. Lord, I do pray. As we all struggle and battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil, as we mess up, as we stumble, as we fall, Lord, help us to be relying on you, turning to you, asking for your forgiveness, and trusting that you're going to empower us to break the powers that are coming against us, and that we will one day stand in your presence, free from sin completely and rejoicing forevermore. It says the Lord will wipe away every tear, for there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things will have passed away. And we look forward to that day, Lord, when there'll be no more mourning or crying or sorrow or death or pain. In Jesus' name. Amen.